ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पादशंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ओम हरि ओम तत्सत् श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सहनावतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः रमण महर्षि अ वेल नोन great person of vision of the truth lived in Thiruvannamalai was born in a place called Thiruchuli which is Ramana Maharshi's birthplace is somewhere near a place called Arppukottai southern districts of Tamil Nadu South district of Tamil Nadu. I think Virudhunagar district or Arppukottai. From Madurai 2.5 hours. Right. Thiruchuli. That's what where he was born. But there's a beautiful temple. But that temple did not become famous. But he came and lived in Thiruvannamalai. But Thiruvannamalai became more famous than the piece of Bhikkhavi. He lived there. And Ramana Maharshi, the way he presents his teaching in his books, in his own works, proves that he must have studied the Shastram systematically at a young age, or at least in his, the great samskara is there. He must, because none of his books he contradicts, he differs from the Shastras, the teaching. The way he presents the teaching itself is very much in keeping with the presentation of the teaching in the Shastra. So that's why he is considered a traditional Acharya, even though he does not teach, he did not teach people regularly like Swamiji. So there's no systematic teaching available from his Gurukula, from Ashram or anywhere. But his teachings, his own works, revealing his teachings, definitely are in keeping with the Shastra's presentation of the teaching. The methodology, everything is there. He is following. There are so many books he has written in Tamil, and of them, the Ulladu Narpadu. There's a book called Ulladu Narpadu. Narpadu in Tamil means 40, and Ulladu means that which is. That which is. So that which alone is, we have to add alone. That which alone is Ulladu. Which means the reality, the truth, which alone is actually, is unfolded in 40 verses. The 40 verses, each verse discusses that which alone is. So each verse gives you the vision of the reality which alone is. Therefore it is called Ulladu Narpadu. And he had very close, ardent disciples the contemporaries who were living with him all the time, observing his lifestyle, listening to him, understanding the depth of his vision, had his disciples. And one such disciple was Vasishta Ganapati Munihi. Vasishta Ganapati Munihi was an ardent disciple, devotee of Ramana Maharshi, and who was equally great, because he also had in-depth vision of the teaching, and who could really see Ramana Maharshi's vision. So when he translated the same work into Sanskritam Bhasha, but he added a few more verses, not many, few more verses. And that book is called Sat Darshanam. Sat Sataha Darshanam Sat Darshanam. So vision of the truth, vision of the reality. The word Sat implies the reality, and Darshanam means vision. So vision of the reality, Parambarulai Patriya Arivu. So vision of the truth, which alone is. So vision of the truth means knowledge of the reality, absolute reality. Therefore, Sat Darshanam actually means what? Brahma Jnanam. Knowledge of the truth. Sat Darshanam is another word for Brahma Jnanam. In fact, Darshanam as a gerund, it means what is. The seeing, vision. The seeing what is, seeing the truth, is what? Knowledge of the reality. So Brahma Vidya. And the truth, when you see the truth, definitely you can see the truth only as your own self. That's why, as Swamiji said, you are the comfort. You can be uncomfortable or comfortable, that is in keeping the situations, how you perceive it. But you are the very source of comfort, you are the comfort yourself. So here, that you see the vision of the reality, vision of the truth is always as yourself. That is why Brahma Jnanam always what? Atma Jnanam. So Sat Darshanam means the vision of what is, vision of that which alone is, which is knowledge of the reality, absolute reality, Brahma Jnanam. And knowledge of the reality is always as the knowledge of one's own self, therefore Atma Jnanam. So Sat Darshanam means Brahma Jnanam. Brahma Jnanam means Atma Jnanam. So once you have that vision of yourself, your real self, your real nature, or if you have the vision of the truth, reality, then what is that vision? So how that reality is? These verses, in fact, unfold, give you the vision of the reality. Each verse, every verse, a terse verse. Not even one verse which is simple. Okay? This is the simple introduction to Sat Darshanam. Then, the Sat Darshanam begins with Mangalacharana Shlokaha. Mangalacharanam, like how in the Veda, before we begin any text, there is a Shanti Pataha. The whole Veda has a Shanti Pata. So Upanishad being part of the Veda, concluding part of the Veda, Veda Anta Shastram, Upanishad also has Shanti Pata. We begin the Upanishad Pata, any Vedanta study, with the Shanti Pata. So, equivalent to the Shanti Pata, we have Mangalacharana Shlokaha in the very beginning of any Prakrana Grantha. You may have one, minimum one, maximum two or three. Any textbook, depending upon the author, they may present few, one or two Mangalacharna Shlokaha. Mangalacharna Shlokas. When you say Mangalacharna Shlokaha, a verse of benediction. Mangalacharanam means beginning anything as an auspicious beginning. So when does any beginning become an auspicious beginning? Only if you begin with the thought of the Lord, Ishvara. So beginning with the thought of the Lord makes the beginning an auspicious beginning. So that's why we call it Mangala. Mangalam is a synonym of the word Sham, Shivam, Shubham, Mangalam, Kalyanam, Bhadram, which I had taught many times in our classes. So all of you must be thorough with all the words, the synonyms in Sanskrit meaning auspiciousness. So to make the beginning an auspicious beginning, they begin with this verse invoking the grace. Invoking the grace of Bhagavan. That verse is called Mangalacharana Shlokaha. So how should the benedictory verse be? Should it contain only the prayer? Should contain, of course the prayer is implied. Whatever is the Mangalacharana Shlokaha, whatever form of the verse of benediction is, there is a prayer. The prayer is implied. But the benedictory verse can be a verse where the author can bless all the people around, beings around. Because when every being around, all the people around, everything is blessed, then the obstacles will be removed. Therefore, usually the benedictory verses, they present the benediction in the form of blessing. So such, we say, Ashirvadaha. Ashirvadaha means the words of blessings. Benedictory verses consisting of words of blessings. And who are blessed here? The people around, the beings around, they are blessed. So when others are blessed, which means I have blessed everybody, I have blessed means what? The author blesses means there is a prayer implied in that blessing. Now, loka samasta sukhino bhavanto, when you say may all the worlds be happy, you are not actually blessing. You are, there's a blessing, your blessing from the Bhagavan is prayed. So begin with the prayer, begin with the verse, and where all the people are blessed. So such benedictory verses are called the benedictory verses consisting of the words of blessings, Ashirvadaha. So Ashirvada Yukta Mangalacharana Shlokaha. Then there are also other benedictory verses wherein instead of presenting the words of blessings, we have the salutations, obeisance offered to Bhagavan. So salutations or obeisance, we say Namaskaraha. Like Ashirvadaha, Namaskaraha. All these words are masculine gender. We can put neuter gender also. Ashirvachanam, Namaskaranam also we can say, but Namaskaraha. The verses, the word, benedictive verses consisting of words revealing, expressing the obeisance to Bhagavan. Invoking the grace of Bhagavan for the successful completion of the text and also for the readers to benefit from the textbook. Then we have third type of the benedictory verses, and wherein neither obeisance is expressed or salutations are expressed, nor the blessings are revealed, but some Vedic verses present the very essence of the Vedantic teaching. Presenting the essence of the Vedantic teaching means they take the Vedantic, the facts revealed in the Upanishads. You just take any statement of fact revealed in the Upanishad and present that Vedantic fact revealed in the Upanishads as a content of the benedictory verse. So such benedictory verses consisting of words revealing the facts revealed in the Vedanta Shastra. So such presentation of the Vedantic fact is called Vastu Nirdeshaha. Vastu means that which is. Vastu is another word for Sat. That which alone is Vastu. In Tamil, quite often we use this Vastavamaha. It has come from Vastu only. That which actually, as an adverb, you say Vastava. So Vastu is what? In Malayalam also you have. So Vastu means that which is. Vastu is a synonym of the word Sat. For Nirdeshaha, Vastu Nirdeshaha, like how we say Ashir Vadaha, Namaskaraha, Vastu Nirdeshaha. So Vastu Nirdeshaha means what? Nirdeshaha means actually revealing the fact. Nirdeshaha, pointing out or stating the fact. So statement of fact is Vastu Nirdesha Vakyam. We say water is H2O, it's a Vastu Nirdesha Vakyam, a statement of fact. Because Vastu Nirdishyate, Vastu Nirdishyate, a fact is revealed in a statement. But Vastu Nirdesha Vakyam. So Vastu Nirdeshaha, which means a benedictory verse consisting of words presenting the statement of fact. Presenting the fact. Like this, we have mainly three types of verses of benediction. Trividha Mangalacharana Shlokaha. And here, Ramana Maharshi begins his text with which type of Mangalacharana Shloka? Which type of benedictory verse does he begin his text with? No Ashirvachana, no Ashirvada Mangalacharana Shloka, or not even Namaskara here, but here straight away Vastu Nirdeshaha. So here the Mangalacharana Shlokaha presents what? Vastu Nirdesha. A statement of fact. And when you say statement of fact, it must be from an original source. It must be based on the original text. Upanishad. So here, what is that Upanishad and what is the statement of fact he has taken from that Upanishad? If you ask, here, the famous statement of fact, what is Brahman? Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma. This is a sentence defining the nature of reality, Brahma. This is from the Taittiriya Upanishad, second chapter, Brahmanandavalli, actually second line. Okay, what is first line? We have completed Taittiriya Upanishad and we all enjoyed Taittiriya Upanishad. Brahma vida apnoti param tadesha bhyukta. Afterwards, satyam jnanam anantam brahma. This is the statement of fact, revealing the nature of reality. What is Brahma? Each word implies the nature of reality. And this another sentence following it also, that also Anurishi takes here. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman so oshnute sarvan kaman saha. He takes the next sentence also. Yo veda nihitam guhayam parame vyoman. He takes till that. So this Satyam Jnanam Anantam Brahma Yo Veda Nihitam Guhayam Parame Vyoman. Till then he takes, and that vision he gives in the very first verse of benediction. Okay, we'll read that verse. If you don't have the textbook, don't worry. Just listen and say after me. We'll try to understand it. Sat, say, pratyayah, kim, nu, kinnu, vihaya, santam. Sat pratyayah, because you don't have the text, I'm teaching like this, okay, kindergarten class. Sat pratyayah, kinnu, vihaya santam. Hridyesha, hridyesha,
hridyesha,
chintarahito,
chintarahito,
hridakyaha,
hridyesha, hridyesha,
hridi, yeshaha, hridyeshah, hridyesha, chintarahitah, chintarahito, hridakhyah, hrit, akhyah, hridakhyah. Katham, katham, smaramah, katham smarama, tam, ameyam, tamameyam, ekam, katham smaramas, tam, katham smaramastam ameyam ekam tasya smritihi tasya smritir dridhaiva nishtha tasya smritir dridhaiva nishtha. Wait. Sat pratyaya kinnu vihaya santam. Sat pratyaya kinnu vihaya santam. Hridyesha chintarahito hridakhyah. Hridyesha chintarahito hridakhyah. Katham smaramastamameyamekam. Katham smaramastamameyamekam. Tasya smritistatra. Tasya smritistatra. Dridhaiva nishtha.
Dridhaiva nishtha.
Sat pratyayah kinno vihaya santam. Sat pratyayah kinno vihaya santam. Hridyesha chintarahito hridakhyah. Hridyesha chintarahito hridakhyah. கதம் ஸ்மராமஸ்தமமேயமேகம்
கதம் ஸ்மராமஸ்தமமேயமேகம்
தஸ்ய ஸ்மிருதிஸ்தத்ர
தஸ்ய ஸ்மிருதிஸ்தத்ர
த்ருடைவ நிஷ்டா
த்ருடைவ நிஷ்டா.
ஓகே, சத் பிரத்யயாஹ. The word pratyayaha means knowledge which rises in the form of a thought. Be it is walking, he is sitting, there is light, we feel warm. So all what? Knowledge. The knowledge which rises in the form of a thought is pratyayaha. So knowledge implies also what? The experience we have of any object, any situation external, all which rises in the form of a thought is pratyayaha. So knowledge, experience, cognition. So cognitions, experiences, knowledge of varieties of external situations and objects, all of them can be called, you can say, vritti jnanam. It's called what here? Pratyayaha. So pratyayaha, you have so many, isn't it? The cognition, the so many thoughts which arise corresponding to the objects outside. So this pratyayaha, these experiences, the cognitions, the perceptions, the knowledge of the external objects, the external world, obtaining in five different forms, and five different things through five different senses. Suppose the knowledge of cognitions of forms, form, sound form, taste form, touch form, smell form. So the knowledge of the entire external world is only in what? In five different forms of five different objects. There is no sixth object which you have knowledge of. For all, that's why cognitions, the experiences, the knowledge of any object is about here pratyayaha. So pratyayaha, these experiences are existent, the experiences are there, cognitions are there, knowledge of the objects is possible. So they say sat. Sat means the existence of the experiences of the objects, existence of the cognitions of the objects, implied by the word sat pratyayaha, which means in the mind alone, in the form of thoughts, we have what? Experience. So the experiences, the cognitions of the objects. Where are the objects? The experiences are in the form of thoughts, internal in the mind. The objects are external. Therefore, these experiences of the objects are possible, are there. Sat pratyayaha means the existence of the cognitions is there. So the cognitions are possible. How is it possible? Because the objects are, objects are in and through, pervaded by the reality. Every object, whichever object is experienced, the experience of any object is possible only because if the object is pervaded by the reality in terms of existence. If the objects outside the external objects are not pervaded by the reality in terms of existence, then experience of those objects is not possible in the mind. The external objects are not pervaded by reality in terms of existence, then the existence of the experience is not possible, which means very experience itself is not possible. So what makes the experience possible? What makes the experience possible? Experience of anything, cognition of anything, knowledge of any object in the mind, in him of a thought, is possible only if the external objects are pervaded by the reality in terms of existence. If the reality does not pervade an object in terms of existence, then it is not possible for you to have the experience of that given object. So he puts it differently here. Akshepartya prashnaha. Sat pratyaya kinnu. Pratyaya kinnu. See, kim literally means what. The nu separately doesn't have any meaning. When you put together kinnu, it gives you the meaning of katham. How. Kinnu. Satpratyaha kinnu means what? Katham satpratyaya satpratyaha bhaveyuhu. How can there be experience of the object, experiences, cognitions pertaining to the objects? Santam vihaya. How can there be something called experience of any object, experiences or the cognitions of the objects? Satpratyaha kinnu vihaya santam. Vihaya means without. Without what? Without santam. Santam is an objective form of sat. Sat, nominative sant, in objective accusative santam. Santam vihaya, without the truth. Without the truth means what? Without being pervaded by the reality, how can there be, without being pervaded, what should be pervaded by reality? The external objects. If the objects outside, the objects, the external world of objects is not pervaded by the reality in terms of existence, then it is not possible for us to have the corresponding, the experiences, the cognitions of the object. Santam vihaya satpratyaha na sambhavanti. This is the actual meaning. Without being pervaded, if the objects are not pervaded by the reality in terms of existence outside, externally, then internally in the mind, the corresponding experiences or cognitions of the objects are not possible. This is the meaning of the first sentence. So how can there be, which means what? Every object you are experiencing is in and through pervaded by the reality, Param Brahma. What is the reality? In what form does the reality pervade everything? In terms of existence, in the form of existence, every object is pervaded by the reality in terms of existence. When you say chair is means what? Chair is pervaded by existence. If the chair is not pervaded by existence, the reality, in what form does the reality pervade the object? In the form of existence. If the reality does not pervade the object, then you cannot say there is a chair. why you cannot have the experience, you cannot have the cognition, you cannot have the knowledge of that object. The external, every object which is experienced, every external object which enjoys existence, is it alone? They must say it must enjoy the existence, only then there can be corresponding experience of that object. So the external object which do not enjoy existence, which are not pervaded by existence, then definitely there cannot be the corresponding experience in the mind. Therefore, we don't need to search for the reality. Every experience you have in your mind itself is the proof for the reality pervading every object in terms of existence. You have the experience, the cognition, knowledge, perception of any object, which means that object enjoys existence. That existence enjoyed by every object, because of which experience is possible, is what? The reality Sat. The truth. Therefore he says, just to say, it's impossible for us to have the experiences of the objects if the objects are not pervaded by reality in terms of existence. This is what is said in the first sentence. Sat pratyaya kinno vihaya santam. Santam vihaya sat pratyaya katam syuhu. How can there be cognitions, perceptions, experiences or knowledge of any object outside if the object is not pervaded by the reality in terms of existence? Understand? This is the first sentence. The next question comes. So the first sentence stands for what? Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. In that the satyam, the meaning of the word satyam is taken here and presented in the first sentence. The first sentence discusses the satyam of that statement. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Then what is that satyam? What is that satyam, satta are synonyms. So what is that reality? What is that reality which pervades every object in terms of existence, and because of which alone the experience is possible, the cognition is possible? What is that reality? What is that existence? What is the reality pervading everything here, which in terms of existence? If you ask, and that reality is what? That reality pervading every object in terms of existence is nothing but Chit, Chaitanyam, Chitihi, consciousness. But that consciousness, the existence pervading the external object, pervades the thoughts internally, and then the existence pervading the thoughts is given a different word. What? Chit. Therefore he says, Yo vedanihi tanguhayam. That he brings in here. How does he bring it? Hridi esha. Hridyesha chinta rahito hridakyaha. Hridi eshaha. Hridi eshaha. Hridi eshaha means what? In the mind. Please understand, the hrid or hrit, hridayam, there are all the words synonyms, which means heart, the physical heart. But the physical heart happens to be the golakam for the antahkaranam, the mind. The word hrid is also used to mean what? The mind. So here hridi means antahkarane, in the mind. Yeshaha. So hridi yeshaha. Yeshaha means what? This. the third person singular pronoun, the masculine gender word, isn't it? Eshaha. So Eshaha means what? This, and this implies here the nearest this, the nearest self, this, the nearest self is you, you yourself, isn't it? For Eshaha means this self, the nearest self, which is there, what is that reality alone, the reality pervading every object in terms of existence is the nearest self, the chit, the consciousness. Where? In one's own mind, hridi. In everyone's mind, in one's own mind, it is there shining. Hridi eshaha. But how is that reality, the existence pervading every object is in one's own mind as one's own self, very self. As the swarupam of the very I, as swarupam of the very knower, experience, a very truth of I. So hridi eshaha. And how is that? That consciousness here, chinta rahitaha. Hridi esha, that existence is here as the very consciousness, a very surupam of I, as the nearest self in everyone's mind, in one's own mind. How is the reality, the existence as consciousness in the mind? Chinta rahitaha. Rahitaha means devoid of, without. Chinta literally means worry. Any worry is called a chinta. But here chinta be taken as a thought. Okay. Chinta rahitaha means devoid of thoughts, untainted by thoughts, unafflicted by thoughts, okay, without the thoughts. The consciousness is there in every thought, in every experience, in every cognition. The consciousness is the same existence pervading the external objects, is here pervading the thoughts also, but untouched by any thought. And that existence externally pervading the objects, pervading the thoughts, is given a different name, chit, the consciousness. Hridyesha chinta rahito. Chinta rahita means what? Not one who devoid of thoughts. The consciousness is there without, means what? Untouched, untainted, unafflicted by thoughts. Like what? Just as any opaque thing shining in the light is not touched, tainted, afflicted by the light. Similarly, the consciousness is there untouched, unafflicted, untainted by thoughts. So light does not possess the opaque objects. Similarly, consciousness does not own, possess the thoughts there. So the consciousness is there. Hridi eshaha chinta rahitaha. The same exists, the same reality, pervading every object externally in terms of existence, pervades every thought internally also, but untainted by the thoughts, untouched by the thoughts, being free from the thoughts. And that same, that existence is what? Your very truth of I, the nearest self, the consciousness, sadeva chit, chinta rahitaha. Therefore, that consciousness happens to be the very swarupam of I, truth of I, the truth of the very subject of experience. The experiencer is a core person. You know, is known as consciousness, happens to be the core person, the very truth of I, is called what? Hrid Akhyaha, known as very Hrid, known as Hrid. The same reality existence, Hrid, is known as Hrid. Why Hrid? Why is it called Hrid? Because it is the truth of the very I, nearest self, hrit akhyaha. ஹிருதி ஏஷக சிந்தாரஹிதஹ ஹிருதாக்யஹ நோனஸ் ஆக்யஹ நோனஸ். யூ காண்ட் ஹியர் மை வேர்ட், யூ கேன் நாட் ஹியர் எனி அதர் டீச்சர்ஸ் வேர்ட். சத்தியம் ஐ எம் டெல்லிங் யூ. ஹிருத் ஆக்யஹ. Nobody will take this long also time to say every word. I'm taking very long because I want, I'm very serious person with all the serious students, and then see that every word they understand. They don't mechanically go out in the, from the class. Hrit akhyaha. So here, that chit, satyam, jnanam. Is it jnanam, chit, chaitanam, they're all synonyms. Chitihi. So here the second, the jnanam aspect of that statement is discussed in the second sentence. Hridyesha chinta rahito hridakyah katham smaramastamameyamekam. Therefore next question comes, katham smaramaha tam, katham smaramaha tam, katham smaramaha, how do we remember him? It's a literal meaning. How do we remember him? Katham tam smaramaha. Here him means, why do you say him? Because atmanam, santam, isn't it? So how do we remember means, remember, you should take the word literally here, remember. How is it possible for us to see that reality pervading every object in terms of existence and available for recognition in one's own mind as the, as one's own self, as the nearest self, pervading every thought in terms of consciousness? How can we objectify that reality? Smaramaha should be taken as what? How is it possible for us to objectify that reality? How can we cognize that reality? How can we know that reality? How can we understand that reality? How can we objectify that reality? Which means, again, the question is not real question, akshepartha prashnaha. The question is what? The objection is what? It's impossible to objectify that reality. Katham smaramaha. Why is it not possible to objectify that reality? Because that reality is never available for perception, imperceptible, inconceivable, indescribable. Therefore, why? Ameyaha. The word ameya also I explained many times in the class. I'm sure you all must be remembering. Meya is participle of the potential passive participle of the root ma, mati. I'm saying it becomes meya means mati measures, meya measurable, ameya immeasurable. Literally immeasurable means what? Imperceptible. Something can be measured correctly only if it is available for perception through any of the senses. If it is not available for any of the senses for perception, it is imperceptible. Therefore, ameyaha. The reality is never available for perception. Because of its imperceptibility, ameyatvat, isn't it? Imperceptibility. It is impossible for us to objectify that reality, to know that reality, to understand that reality as an object. Okay, the last word. Katham smaramastam ameyam. Finished. Ekam. Ekam is the word stands for anantam. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. The word ekam stands for anantam here. He brought all the three now. Ekam stands for anantam. Anantam means what? The reality pervading every object externally in terms of existence pervades the thoughts also internally as consciousness, and which is the nearest self, and which is the truth of I, therefore which is imperceptible, and because of its imperceptibility it is not objectifiable. Understand? And that non-objectifiable, imperceptible, the reality obtaining as consciousness in one's own mind, which alone pervades everything as they, as you know, in terms of existence, and that reality is of the nature of limitlessness, infinitude. How do we say? Because ekam, you say ekam, ekam stands for divisionlessness, indivisibility. Anything which has parts is divisible, and the divisible means what? Then it becomes plural. Ekam implies divisionlessness, indivisibility, partlessness. The partlessness, indivisibility, divisionlessness imply what? The limitlessness, infinitude. So time-wise limitlessness, spatial limitlessness, object-wise limitlessness, and all these sajati, vijatiya, swagata, bheda, rahitatvam, you know, all it is free, being free from all differences and all divisions and all forms of differences, even jnatru, jnana, jnaya. The triputi bheda, it's free from triputi bheda. The consciousness pervading every object in terms of existence is free from the triputi bheda, jnatru, jnana, jnaya bheda, the knower, known, knowledge difference. Jiva jagat ishvara bheda, the individual, the total, the Lord, this difference also, the cause of the universe, that bheda. Sajatiya vijatiya swagata bheda rahitam, it's free from all differences, free from all differences, free from all divisions. It is of the nature of divisionlessness, therefore it is one partless, indivisible whole, therefore it is anantam. And what is that reality which is of the nature of limitlessness and which alone pervades everything in terms of existence and which is available for recognition in one's own mind as the truth of one's own self, as the very sarupam of I, as the nearest self, the consciousness. Hridyesha chinta rahito hridakyaha katham smaramastamameyamekam. Ekam have to take separately, under says anantam. Katham smaramastamameyamekam. He says, tasya smritis tatra. Tasya smritihi. Tatra simply has added to me, adjust the meter. Tasya smritihi. Smritihi literally means what? The noun form. Remembering, remembrance, memory. Smritihi smaranam. Gerund as another neuter noun. Smritihi smaranam. Tasya smritihi means what? Remembering that consciousness. Literally, it means. But first, earlier we said what? How is it possible for us to remember? How is it possible for us to objectify? We've already seen the meaning. Now, tasya smritihi here means what? Now, repeatedly focusing our attention on that reality. Repeatedly dwelling upon the nature of that reality being one's own self. That's very important. Simply consciousness, consciousness. Seeing that as the very truth of one's own self, as one's own self. So, tasya smritihi. So, constantly contemplating upon the nature of that reality as one's own self. Because there's no way of contemplating upon the nature of reality unless reality is yourself, unless you know already the reality. Reality must be your own swarupam. Already must shravanam manana must help you to arrive at that fact that you, there is no reality other than yourself. The very truth of I, there's no I other than conscious. There is no knower experience other than consciousness. Therefore, tasya smritihi implies what? Constantly contemplating upon that reality as one's own self. Seeing the truth, the existence, if I enjoy by every object externally, is nothing but consciousness, which is the nearest self. Seeing this fact repeatedly is what? Tasya smritihi. Okay? Contemplation upon that reality as one's own self, not as an object. Seeing, it means seeing one's own self being consciousness, and understanding that consciousness being the existence of every object is what? Tasya smritihi. Seeing this fact of existence being existence enjoyed by every object being nothing but consciousness, which is the swarupam of the knower I, which is one's own self. This is a fact. What is the reality? Brahma existence. Where is Brahma? Brahman reality is in terms of existence, in the existence of every object. Every object you are experiencing is possible. Experience of every object is possible because every object externally is pervaded by existence. That existence enjoyed by pervading every object is what? Nothing but consciousness. And where do we understand, arrive at that consciousness? Hridi, in one's own mind. As what? As one's nearest self. As the very truth of I. This is nowhere experience. Therefore, it is imperceptible, non-objectifiable. And that consciousness is what? The consciousness, the existence of everything, is one indivisible, partless whole, is of the nature of limitlessness. Therefore, it is one secondless, non-dual reality, ekam. And this is the fact. And repeatedly dwelling upon, contemplating upon this fact of existence being consciousness, which is one's own swarupam, will result in what? Dridhaiva nishtha. Definitely, dridhaiva nishtha. This contemplation will result in dridhaiva nishtha, which means definitely result in the firm, doubt-free, ascertained vision. Dridha nishtha. And a dridha nishtha is what? Jnana nishtha. The firm, doubt-free, ascertained vision is mokshaha. Om Shanti Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om. Now you have, it is, even now you have something for dwelling. Everything you are seeing, you are experiencing, enjoying, because it is in and through, it is pervaded by existence. That existence pervading everything is consciousness, which is myself. Go with this thinking.